Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Silkwood's North Parish Church. So how's it going? Are you making progress? Are you getting somewhere? An airline pilot made an announcement to the passengers.
I have good news and bad news. The good news is that we're making excellent progress. The bad news is that we are lost.
Isn't that a parable of many people's lives? We can make great strides forward, but not be sure if it's in the right or the wrong direction. This programme is entitled The Wrong Direction, but it's not what you might think. It's not a condemnation of people whose lives go off the rails and go in the wrong direction. No, this is a programme more of a tribute to the many heroes in life who are to be admired and praised for choosing to go in the wrong direction. Are you confused? Well, I'll explain. We all admire firemen and women for rushing to burning buildings when other people are fleeing away from them. We all respect ambulance paramedics for racing to accident scenes when other people try to avoid them. We hold doctors and nurses and care workers in high esteem because they go to people with infections. We honour soldiers for going into war zones and battlefields instead of us. We appreciate policemen and women going into crime scenes and dealing with criminals and doing jobs we would rather not do. And we can only stand in amazement when we watch lifeboat crews launch out into the teeth of a gale, facing 60-foot waves, wave after wave, when all other boats are safely in harbour or trying hard to get there. These heroes are all to be commended for choosing to go in the wrong direction. Remember the scene at 9/11 in New York with the aeroplane flying head-on into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. The towers collapsing, people fleeing for their lives, pursued closely by a deadly cloud of dust. Remember seeing emergency workers, police, fire crews, paramedics running in the opposite direction, going into the dust cloud, going up the stairs, bravely going in the wrong direction. Wrong from the perspective of their own personal safety. What an inspiring picture of heroes.
Where have all the good men gone and where are all the gods? Where's the streetwise earth that leads to fight the rising odds? Isn't there a white light upon the fiery street? Late at night I toss and I turn and I dream of what I need. I'm holding out for a heel till the end of the night.
want to tell you the story about Mari Colvin. President Assad of Syria was massacring his own people, lobbing missiles into housing estates, filling the streets with tanks, killing children, hospital patients, killing indiscriminately. He also managed to kill the American journalist Mari Colvin, and with her the French photographer Rémi Ochet. She was a foreign correspondent for 25 years and highly respected. She lost her eye in a previous conflict, war in Sri Lanka. Shrapnel had got into her eye, and she wore a black patch over it ever since. This in turn caused her to suffer trauma and stress and depression. But it didn't stop her doing her job, her vocation, as a war correspondent. So she went to Syria. She lived alongside the Syrians in their hour of crisis. She shared the danger, the deprivations, and the death of the poor souls in Syria. In a recent report, she said that she felt helpless and overwhelmed, standing holding a baby as it died in her arms. She hoped that her presence and her reports would prevent the worst excesses of the Assad regime. Well, dream on. And she hoped it would inform the wider world, so the world would know what was going on and might come to help. Dream on again. Instead, she got herself killed. She was the only foreign correspondent in the city of Homs at the time. Everybody else had fled for safety. But Mari Colvin had gone in the other direction. She went into Homs. I want to tell you also about General Murillion at Srebrenica in Bosnia. The Serbs had surrounded the city and were freely taking pot shots at the city. Srebrenica is a city in a valley, so if you take the surrounding hills, you can just take free shots at anybody sitting there as ducks. General Murillion was the commander of the United Nations peacekeeping troops, but he was under orders not to fight the Serbs. He had to stand back and just monitor the situation. But he could only stand and watch genocide for so long, and his patience ran out. He went into the city himself to stand shoulder to shoulder with the victims. He showed tremendous courage to go in there under the relentless barrage of shellfire. This put pressure on the United Nations to act. General Murillion went in the wrong direction too. He went into trouble. He did survive, and eventually the UN did act.
He rode easy in the saddle, he was tall and lean, and at first he thought nothing but a streak of mean could make a man look so downright strong, but one look in his eyes and you knowed you was wrong. He was a mountain of a man, and I want you to know he could preach hot hell or freezing snow. He carried a Bible in a canvas sack, and the folks just called him the Reverend Mr. Black. He was poor as a beggar, but he rode like a king. Sometimes in the evening I could hear him sing. I got to walk that lonesome valley. I got to walk it by myself, or nobody else can walk it for me. I got to walk it by myself. If ever I could have thought that this man in black was soft, had any yellow up his back, I gave that notion up the day a lumberjack came in and it wasn't a prey. Yeah, he kicked open the meeting house door and he cussed everybody up and down the floor. And then when things got quiet in the place, he walked up and cussed in the preacher's face. He hit that reverend like the kick of a mule, and to my way of thinking, it took a pure fool to turn the other cheek to that lumberjack. Well, that's what he did, the Reverend Mr. Black. He stood like a rock, a man among men. Then he let that lumberjack hit him again, and then with a voice as kind as could be, he cut him down like a big oak tree when he said, you got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to walk it by yourself, for nobody else can walk it for you. You got to walk it by yourself. been many years since we had to part, and I guess I learned his ways by heart. I can still hear his sermons ring down in the valley where he used to sing. I followed him, yes sir, and I don't regret it. I hope that I'll always be a credit to his memory, cause I want you to understand the Reverend Mr. Black was my old man.
You got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to walk it by yourself, or nobody else can walk it for you. You got to walk it by yourself. You got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to walk it by yourself.
It's not just superheroes who are to be admired for going in the wrong direction. We do it all the time in ordinary daily life. Every time we bite the bullet or grasp the nettle or face things head on instead of running away. I admire my neighbouring minister for getting inducted to his new charge at the age of 70, when other people are well into retirement. He's setting out on a new job in a new house in a new town. Good on you, Arthur, and Susan, his wife. You have to admire my mother's auntie, who got married for the very first time at the age of 70. And how about the woman who started weightlifting when she was 70? She now lifts weights the equivalent of her washing machine, and is Miss Universe for retired people at the ripe young age of 82. I was at a graduation ceremony in Aberdeen University, in which a 99-year-old man received his certificate. He said that he was wondering what course he would study next year. These all win our admiration and respect, because they're all going in the wrong direction from the majority of other people. Well done them.
When I am down, and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come, and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and settle while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
Oh,
The Bible has lots of examples of people heroically going in the wrong direction, like salmon swimming upstream. Think about Abraham and Sarah setting out on their wanderings at the ripe old ages and then giving birth to Isaac when they were even older. Think of David going into no man's land to face the giant Goliath while everybody else didn't dare move. Noah built an ark in the face of ridicule. Moses gave up Pharaoh's court to side with the Hebrew slaves. Peter went overboard, literally, to walk on the water towards Jesus, while his colleagues clung to the sinking ship, no doubt shouting, "Get back, you fool!" But is there no room for such foolishness in our daily lives and discipleship? All of Jesus' disciples set out into the world to spread the good news of Jesus. In Jesus' words, as sheep among wolves. And these fishermen and tax collectors, ordinary guys, ended up as martyrs, heroes, and saints. What about Daniel facing lions, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego facing the fiery furnace for not compromising their faith when they were under pressure to do so?
When Daniel was a young man, he was strong and handsome, intelligent and friendly and brave. And he was very happy living in his homeland till people came and took him away. Daniel, you'll be brave. Daniel, you'll be brave. You've been taken far away and made a slave. Daniel, you believe. Daniel, you believe your God is near. So have no fear for Daniel. Your heart is freed. When Daniel was an old man, the king had showed him favor, but all around were envious men. One day they caught him praying when it was forbidden, and threw him in the lion's den. Oh, Daniel's in the den, Daniel's in the den. It's nearly time for bed, and the lions need fed. Daniel's in the den, Daniel's in the den. But the people and the king have forgotten one thing, that Daniel, he's God's friend. It's early in the morning, the king is looking worried. He's running to the lion's den. Then Daniel says, "Good morning, the lion hasn't torn me. You see, my God has saved me again." Oh, Daniel, you're alive. Daniel, you're alive. It's a miracle that you haven't died. Daniel, please forgive. Daniel, please forgive. We'll tell every man living in this land that Daniel, your God lives. Oh, Daniel, your God lives. Oh, Daniel, your God lives.
There was three children from the land of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, took a trip to the land of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, took a lot of gold and made an idol. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and he told everybody when he heard the music of the cornet. And he told everybody when he heard the music of the flute. And he told everybody when he heard the music of the harp. You must fall down and worship the idol, Shadrach,
Meshach, Abednego.
But the children of Israel would not bow down, Shadrach,
Meshach, Abednego.
Couldn't fool them with a golden idol, Shadrach,
Meshach, Abednego.
I said you couldn't fool them with a golden idol, Shadrach,
Meshach, Abednego.
So the king put the children in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. He thrown coal and red hot brimstone, Shadrach,
Meshach, Abednego.
Seven times hotter, hotter than it ought to be, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Burn up the soldiers that the king had put there, Shadrach,
Meshach, Abednego.
But the Lord sent an angel with the snowy white wings down in the middle of the furnace, talking to the children about the power of the gospel, Shadrach,
Meshach, Abednego.
Well, they couldn't even burn a hair on the head of Shadrach,
Meshach, Abednego,
laughing and talking while the fire jumping around.
Meshach, Abednego.
Old Nebuchadnezzar called, "Hey there," when he saw the power of the Lord. And they had a big time in the house of Babylon.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Abednego.
I hope that all of these examples of people freely choosing to go in the wrong direction inspires you to try it too. They didn't start as superheroes. They were ordinary people like you and me. But they rose on the occasions, time and time again, growing into heroes. Remember that soldiers, sailors, air crews, emergency service workers, everybody starts off as little babies. It's an open question as to whether we're going to grow up and advance or retreat every time we meet a crossroad crisis. Some people keep saying yes, others keep saying no. Some wither in fear, others grow and mature. As you can see, there are two directions, and really we've been unfair in calling the heroic way the wrong direction. It's obviously the better way, the right direction. It is out of step with the majority direction, but it must be said to be the better way. However, we all need help to turn around from a life of running away to a life of living life to the full, from a life of self-preservation to a life of sacrificial service to others. Human nature gives us instincts for self-protection. It's God's divine gift when we're able to rise above that and become Christ-like. God himself left the comfort zone of heaven and uniquely came in the wrong direction to this sin-polluted planet. He gave up so much to take on human life as Jesus of Nazareth, Nazareth of all places. Jesus set his face steadfastly towards the cross and self-sacrificial death for the sake of others in an attempt to turn us all around from heading for hell to bring us on our way to heaven. So I hope that you are making good progress and progressing in the right direction, which we often describe as going in the wrong direction compared to everybody else. Bye for now.
Through Jesus' love, we feel no evil. song.